Blog Talk Radio. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. I am your lovely, stunning, magnificent, and wonderful host, Charvette, if I say so myself, and I'm excited to have all of our listeners from all across the World Wide Web. We certainly appreciate you. Listen, the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show airs every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here, same time, same place. To stay up to date on all of the great shows and interviews we have lined up for you, please join our e-blast list. Yes, and you can do that by visiting my official website, which is www.mitchell-productions.com. And for all of our listeners with iPods, you can now have the show automatically downloaded to your iPod for free. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is visit the iTunes store, search for Charvette, that's S-H-A-R-V-E-T-T-E, and click subscribe. As you know, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And today I have a very exciting guest, as my intro music alluded to, and I believe I have her on the line now. Hello. Bernadette Stannis, are you there?
Yes, hello. I'm there.
Hi. We are so glad to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Thelma from Good Times, and we are going to be talking to her today. Listen, she is best known as Thelma from Good Times, but there's much more to her than that. In the 70s, Bernadette was the personification of black beauty. She introduced a new definitive image of the young black girl and woman, and her grace and beauty was a welcoming presence on TV and still is today and will always be as long as there is a TV around. You're welcome. Her dramatic, comedic charm, witty one-liners, sassy style, and daintiness were versatile qualities that made her a great talent and great favorite who we will never, never, ever forget. Again, coming to the mic, we have Thelma from Good Times, Miss Bernadette Stannis. Thank you again for joining the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Great. So let's go ahead and jump right into the interview. We got a lot of good things to talk about.
Yes.
So you've got to tell us, does it feel like just yesterday you were on Good Times, acting on Good Times? It feels like time has stood still for you because you look fabulous.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. But it doesn't seem like it's as long as it's been, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Wow. And I'm telling you, I was telling people of all ages and all backgrounds about the show, and I got such a phenomenal response. I mean, just everybody just, I mean, it's like, wow, it was like I had the president coming on the show.
Oh, that's sweet. You know, they think that I'm their big sister or their little sister.
Yes.
Right, and I am.
So what kind of experience was Good Times?
You know, it was like the world was new, of course. I was so young. But it was like, you know, a new day. We were like the groundbreakers. We started something, and we didn't have, like, a show before us to emulate. So we were like the first one. So it was, everything was so new.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
Trailblazers.
Yes, and it was just so wonderful to work with all those professionals. You know, I was the rookie on the show.
What?
Yeah, I was. So, you know, to learn from them, just watch them work was just amazing to me.
How did you find out about that acting opportunity?
You know, I was in a beauty pageant, and there was a manager there, and it was someone there who said I should meet their manager. So my mother and I went over to Manhattan, and we met him, and he said, you know, they're looking for a girl, a daughter for this TV show, and you look like you would fit right in. And he told me the address, and I went up there, and I auditioned for it.
Wow. So was acting always in your plans?
You know, it was always dancing.
Okay.
And the acting, I did some acting, you know, in school and all, but it wasn't like that's what I'm going to be as an actress. Mm-hmm. I thought I would be a doctor.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
that was my thing. But of course, I was always going to be dancing, I thought.
Right.
And, you know, the acting thing just came up. And so, you know, of course, you know, I graduated from Juilliard.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, I went to Juilliard, and I really studied it after that, you know. So
right.
What can I say? It just happened.
I tell you, it's awesome how life has sometimes a different plan for us, right? And God has a different plan for us sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, often I've said, well, why was I really picked for good times? I mean, as mm-hmm. far as film is concerned. But, you know, my life, my real life, was so similar to that life.
Wow.
Yes, and I was that character, you know, I just... I'm a little bit more optimistic, you know, as Thelma than I am, you know, as Bernadette. You know, I was
okay.
more grounded, you know. I was
right.
But, right. I think it was so similar, you know.
Okay. And were there any favorite shows? I know you did so many, and that's probably a hard question, but anything, you know, favorite, any favorite scenes that stick out and you remember all
yes,
of them?
Yes.
You got to tell us.
Couple. The one I really liked, I liked when I was going to marry eBay.
Yeah.
The African Prince. I love that. That was a two-parter. Then I loved, there was one show, I can't remember the title right now, but there was one that I did when Penny, there was a cigarette that she was smoking and she
yeah.
pulled her hair. I loved that.
And then each
show.
One of you gave your own
yeah.
version of how it went down.
Yes, because the reason why I show so much is because I got a chance to play so many different people's opinions of me.
Right.
No, I was the right. Wicked Witch in J.J. story.
Right. And we never believed J.J. anyway.
Nah, I'm not bullied.
Was there anything that was crazy that happened, like, behind the scenes that you'll remember?
No, it
that
was
you can
very
tell?
Controlled.
Okay.
Very controlled. Everything was sort of the same all the time.
Okay.
So yeah, very controlled.
Okay. So we would think you all had such great chemistry on camera. You know, you might think that once they hit, you know, they said cut, you know, you're still laughing and joking and playing, but it was.
No, we were. We
wow,
really
okay.
were. We were very close, actually. You know what I mean? Just like a family.
Right.
Well, we kind of grew into, like, being a real family. And, you know, quite naturally, there are days when you have better days than others, you know, with the family,
right.
you know. And you, after 5 years of working with someone almost every day, you learn their ways.
Right.
You know what to say, what not to say. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. You know, things like that.
Okay. And do you keep up with the other cast members now?
I do. I
okay.
do. You know how you always have, like, a sister or someone that everybody calls?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm that.
Oh, okay.
Things going, you know?
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's
but, you know, I was very close to Esther. You do know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She treated me like a daughter, and I treated her like a mother.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That what we saw on camera wasn't a facade. It was, you know, reality.
Absolutely not. Not at all with her.
Cool. We have one caller that's waiting. We'll take a quick question.
Okay.
Yeah. Caller ending in 997. You're on the air and live on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
This is Jay from the Jay Matt Show. I'm one of your show with Mark, one of my favorites, and I got the notification that Bernadette. When Miss Stannis was going to be on it, the show, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I was like,
you.
No way. I'm tripping right now because I think everything happens with God and energy and stuff.
Yeah.
And on my MySpace page, you know, there's this question, like, people you would like to meet.
Oh.
And I've always said I wanted to meet Oprah, like Bill Gates, and Bernadette Stanis.
Oh, my God. Well, you made a dream come true.
Yes, you did. I am so, and I don't want to sound like cliche or anything.
Uh-huh.
I am being so serious because I've always liked what Miss Stanis has always represented and the stuff that she's done outside of Good Times. And
wow.
It's just a blessing. And I said to myself, I said one day, because I moved from Detroit, and I live in L.A. now,
uh-huh.
and I said, one day I'm going to talk to Bernadette Stanis. I don't know how it's going to happen. I might talk to her at church or on a book tour, but
right.
I know I'm going to talk to her, and I am tripping right now.
Well, pinch
oh,
yourself,
so
and this is reality. You are not dreaming. You have her live on the air. Do you have a question you want to ask?
Yeah, I had a question. I actually had two questions. I wanted to find out what inspired you to do your book.
I'm going to get into that. Situations 101.
And my second question was, are you the actual person that monitors your own MySpace page?
Oh, yes, but I do have someone that helps me to put things on and do all that fancy stuff because I don't know how to do that.
Okay.
But when it comes to answering my fans and people that love me because I love them, it's me.
Because I work as a celebrity photographer, and I also have a publication that's coming out, and I wanted to do this spread that I called, you know, it was for me, but it was also for the fans of my publication. And I wanted to, there's this photo shoot that I was trying to get together, and I wanted to include, like, you, Jennifer Lewis, and I think it was Patti LaBelle. And and this was, like, months ago when I had sent, like, a message through the MySpace, but, you know, I know that.
Got a message back?
No.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to fix that. But you know what happens? You know how many people I have on there, right?
Yeah, and see, that, and I understand that because I have a lot of people on my MySpace, too, so I didn't really get offended by it because I know it gets caught up in the loop. And, you know, people hit you up with some crazy stuff.
Well, you know what I'd like to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to send that information to my email.
Oh, cool.
Okay. I'm going to give you my email right on the air so I can have other friends that may want to send me something.
Uh-huh.
It is Good Times Thelma.
Good Times Thelma. Okay.
At AOL.com.
At AOL.com.
Okay. I'm
definitely going to make sure that I get this information to you, too.
Oh, please, and just say that you just spoke with me on air, that kind of thing. And, of course, you know, I was going to tell the listening audience to visit my MySpace and become my friend.
Okay.
And what's your address there on MySpace?
It's Thelma of Good Times.
Thelma of Good Times?
Yes.
Is that all together?
Yes.
Okay. Of Good Times.
And it's the same name as my website, ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com. I wanted to keep it kind of simple. You know what
I
mean?
Right.
Okay.
Great. Well, Carla, we thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Charvet. I am so grateful for your show, and I really appreciate you allowing this to happen. And I know that you're going to be doing your interview. I'll post it into your chat room, her MySpace and website for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day, ladies.
So. All right. You too.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Bye-bye.
All right, so Bernadette, he alluded to the book, and we definitely have to talk about that. And we kind of got to bridge the gap for our listeners. So after Good Times stopped, what have you been doing since then? And I know we're going to talk about the book, but what are some other things that you've been doing since Good Times?
Oh, well, you know, I've done a lot of plays.
Yes.
Yes, I've done a lot of plays, and I've traveled the country for many years. Of course, you know, I have two daughters. I raised them, or raising one. She's 13 now. The other one is a young lady. You know, and I've been writing and just writing poetry and writing stories. And so, you know, it just landed me here. I don't know. You know,
wow.
It seems like I should have been doing a lot more, huh?
Well, no. I mean, that. What you said is a whole lot. So let's talk about the book, Situations 101. Ladies and gentlemen, I have my copy in hand, and I've got to say it is an autographed copy, so I feel so privileged. However, I know that if you go to her official website, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the official website, and that's www.thelmaofgoodtimes.com, again, www.thelmaofgoodtimes.com. That's the official website. You can check out her book, Situations 101, Relationships, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And this book, I'm telling you, I got the book, and I started reading. And you know what it felt like to me? First of all, I almost want to call you Dr. Stannis. But it felt like I was sitting down with a girl, you know, good girlfriend on the couch, and she's saying, oh, girl, let me tell you what happened. I'm like, girl, tell me what happened. And just going through different relationship situations that you've laid out in the book, and it is, ladies and gentlemen, literally 101 situations. Tell us how you came up with the book, how you decided to write this type of book.
Well, you know, I have a lot of friends, a lot of people that tell me a lot of things. I guess some kind of way that psychology thing is emerging in me any kind of way, you know. And so, you know, I give a lot of advice and to younger women, men too, I give a lot of advice. And I've heard a lot of things. And, of course, my own life, you know, I've seen a lot and heard a lot too.
Wow.
And, you know, they ask me questions, and I try to give answers. And sometimes it disheartens me because they come back with the same thing. It's like repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, why don't, you know, people really get it, or do they really want the help, you know?
Right.
And sometimes when you give advice freely, people kind of just don't realize, you know, well, you know, you're not supposed to take advantage of it, you know.
Right.
You know. So I had one friend that just wouldn't learn. In about a year or two, you know, I think you should learn something, you know.
Right.
So what I said I was going to do was I was going to write down some of the things that I thought that she should remember.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to send it to her to put on her refrigerator.
Okay.
That she doesn't have to call me at 2 in the morning, you know.
Right. Let me tell you what happened.
Wait. 2 in the about, I can't reach him. Should I call back again? I said, well, you know what? How many times did you call? 3. I said, well, it's 3 in the morning. It's 2 in the morning, and if he doesn't answer, he's probably sleeping. But her response was, sleeping with whom? I'm like, you know, wait, hold on. That to me at 2 in the morning. So anyway, that's what happened. And so I started to write. Just started to write about some of the situations that I know about and maybe some answers and stuff like that. And it ended up where I kept writing and more kept coming, ended up becoming 101 situations and my responses to them.
Wow.
And one of the situations are real. It's not like I imagined these things. Everyone is a real situation. I created a little story around them to bring them to the forefront, but the story, the essence of it is real.
My goodness. And is there any particular reason you called, you say in the book, ladies and gentlemen, when you get the book, again, Situations, 101 Situations, you'll see the situation and then right under it you'll see the response. Is there any reason you called it a response as opposed to advice?
Because I feel that it's an opinion. I am not a doctor, and I don't claim to be, you know, an expert in any of this. But my life experience, I'm sharing. You know, like a woman who's lived life, you know, and she wants to impart to younger people, people who have not lived that much, you know, that life, some advice or some, you know, insight, but I didn't want to put advice, so that's why I put response.
Okay.
Like, you know, like you have a conversation with your girlfriend, and she would respond.
Right, and I like that they are very grounded, you know, very grounded and solid. They're not fluffy. We're going to talk about a couple of the situations right here on air.
I'm so glad you have your book in front of you.
Yes, I have it right in front of me. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the book, can you still get a autographed signed copy if people order it from your website?
Do you know they send the books to me and I autograph every single one that goes out?
Every single one. And this is not a stamp. This is a real pen. It looks like a Sharpie almost.
Sharpie. You got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a great gift this would be. And I got a picture, an autographed picture of the Good Times family.
Yes, I send that along with the book.
Oh, my goodness. That would be such a great gift for someone. You could say, child, I had this flown in from L.A. for you. Well, you're not lying because, you know, the mail service does use the plane. So I got a couple of situations I picked out that were some of my favorites. Can we talk about
them? Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so situation 17, ladies and gentlemen, situation 17. He found, and I'll paraphrase while you're finding that there.
Mm-hmm.
He found out the baby is his. Situation 17, he found out the baby is his. And in a nutshell, you've got sister girlfriend who's dating dude. Dude has a 9-year-old by his ex-wife. And he has just found out that his ex-girlfriend has a baby girl that is his also. Now, the current girlfriend doesn't have any children, and now she feels lost and kind of, you know, I got two baby mamas I got to deal with. Will he want to have children in the future, et cetera, et cetera. What kind of response did you give to that?
Well, I told her that the situations are basically between the man and his ex and his ex, 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 or whatever.
Right.
And as long as you and he have a solid relationship and you know that he loves you, I don't think there's very much to worry about. As long as he keeps the rules straight.
Right.
All right. You know, and then therefore he must make sure they show you respect also.
All right. You heard it here live. You heard it here from an expert. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. And I am interviewing Thelma from Good Times, Ms. Bernadette Sands. And we are talking about her new book, or her book that's out, Situations 101, Relationships, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Again, visit her online at www.thelmaofgoodtimes.com. Okay, there's another one that I had that was really interesting. And then I'm going to let you pick out maybe a couple that you are your favorites.
All right.
Situation 57. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, situation 57. He didn't have gas money to give me. Okay, when I saw that, high as gas is. You know, that's people right, you know, they're ready to cut you right now just from the title. Okay, so this to paraphrase this one, girlfriend gets a call from her man, 11 o'clock at night, pouring down, raining. He basically wants a late-night rendezvous, a booty call. You know, y'all know what y'all call it. But she has to go pick him up. He needs a ride. She has to go pick him up. So she tells him she needs gas money. He's like, yeah, I got you. Basically, long story short, she gets there. He doesn't have gas money. He's nonchalant. Now, she mad, tight, upset. They still had a booty call, and she still twisted because he didn't have gas money. Okay, what was your response? And that was a real story.
Well, I said that I thought it was, you know, a bit much for him to call that late in the rain, you know, and ask her to come out. But, you know, she did go out. So I told her, I said, you know what, this is what I'm saying. When something like this happens, you should say, no, I'm not going to do that. And she said she felt like, yeah, she should do that, but she wanted to see him so badly that
right.
She did it. So I'm saying, you know, you have to call, you know, call that shot yourself. But basically, the reason why a lot of men feel they can make a call like that and you should come and get them is because, you know, women allow that to happen, and they do go and get them. And I said, and he didn't feel like he should give you the money back. I mean, it wasn't like a big deal. But you got to make sure that people respect you in certain ways so that these things don't happen.
And there are always choices in life, right? So she made that choice, and
she made that choice, and she went there. So, I mean, if you make a choice like that, you know, all those kind of things can happen and probably will.
That's right. All right. So what were some of the strangest or something that you know, you were like, wow, when you were putting the situations together. Anyone that you want to call
out? Well,
I know
there are some wild ones in here.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. Well, I think one I thought was very interesting was my four men equals one man. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I read that one.
Yeah. And that wasn't the most bizarre, but
right.
It was. But the woman, you know, she was in love. Basically, I'm going to tell the story backwards.
Okay.
She was in love with this one man who wouldn't commit to her. So, you know, and she wouldn't leave him. She was in love with him. Okay,
right.
We understand that. But what happened here is that he had her in limbo because he wouldn't commit, and
right.
She didn't want to leave him. So what she did was address the issue by having other men to, you know, fill the needs that she wanted, which was she had one guy that she can just hang out with and, you know, go to different, you know, shows with and just have fun.
Right.
Platonic, but then they did have sex, you know, platonically,
right.
Whatever. And then she had another one who would take her to dinner and fine wine and just, you know, do things like that. So I told her that what she's doing, and she really was the type of girl that just wanted to have one man. She didn't want to end up like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exhausting. She doesn't have much time for herself. But, you know, she wanted to have all these things in her life. So I said, well, you know what? The culprit is the one that won't commit to you, the one that's been in the relationship with you the longest and the one that is just holding you down in limbo. I said, what you're going to have to do is decide to be with him and be with him only.
Right.
Or you're going to have to decide to get rid of him and find a man that can satisfy most of your needs.
Wow. And I think a lot of women, you know, sometimes they will resort to that and say, well, I'll take a couple and make up what, you know, what I think one man should be. But they really should take time and find somebody that will, one person that will meet their lead. Because after a while, all of those, you know, you're going to get twisted and tired and running around and all that. It just doesn't make sense after a while.
It gets twisted and confusing, I would think.
Right.
And then another one that I liked was, let me see, The Really Good Guy I've Got. Now, this is the sister that was kind of wrong in this situation. She had a very nice guy. He did very wonderful things for her. Her family loved him and everything. I mean, he had a beautiful home, his car, he had a job, he had everything. He was treating her like a lady. But she would always slip out every once in a while with this bad boy. Her bad boy. And she said, I just cannot live my life without the bad boy in it. I have to have him because, you know, the other one, the good guy, is like having steak with no seasoning. That's how she put it. And so, you know, she just was hoping that, the good guy would never find out. And, you know, she's living a life the two ways this way, and she loves it. She thinks it's great, but she would really be hurt if he found out because, he, of course, it would destroy it.
Right.
So, you know, my thing was that I said, well, the good guy is really being a good guy, and the bad boy is being a good bad boy. I mean, he's doing his job, too. One that's not doing it right and has to be checked is you. I said, because you don't know what you want. I said, you don't know what you really want. You know, and I said, maybe you're not ready for the good guy yet. Maybe you need to let him go, you know, for a while or just chill it and just deal with your bad boy or a couple of your bad boys. Get it out of your system, whatever this is you need.
Because it's not fair to the other person.
It is not because, you know, like they say, a good man is hard to find. Don't ruin the one you got.
Right, because it messes it up for the next person.
You know that's right.
Again, right. Again,
oh, man,
ladies,
I'm not bashing.
All right. We're absolutely not bashing at all. Matter of fact, I have a show coming up in 2 weeks where we're going to talk about what do men really want, and I have four phenomenal male panelists that are going to come on and talk about that. So we are certainly not bashing.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and I am interviewing Bernadette Stanis, and she is Thelma from Good Times. We're talking about Situations 101, relationships, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Do you have any book signings coming up soon where people can find you?
Yes, I'm going to. On my MySpace, I have all the listings of everywhere that I go.
Great.
So, they can go on there and check everything out, but I will be all back east this summer. I'll be between Atlanta, D.C., New York, you know, all those places.
Okay. And one or two last questions about Good Times. Have there ever been discussions about some type of reunion show or anything like that?
Everywhere I go, people want to know that there's going to be a reunion show.
Right.
And I always say, well, I'm hoping that it will happen one day, but as of now, I don't think so, but I am hoping that one day it will happen because I, too, would love to see that.
Wow, and we certainly would love to see that, your fans and all of our listeners.
Yes.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time, and we thank you so much for joining the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. I have to have you come back. You have another book that's out, too, a poetry book, right?
Yes, poetry I wrote for men, and I'd love to come back and read some of it for them.
Oh, absolutely. We will definitely schedule that and have that available for our listeners. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed this interview very much.
Great, and we appreciate it. All right. Have a great day.
You too, honey.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will be back to wrap up the show.